Apostle Stephanie K. Okafor. All right? She's no stranger to the house. So let's just rise to our feet as we welcome our dear, lovely Nigerian sister who lives in America. Thank you so much.
Hallelujah. Can we just lift up a praise to Jesus? No, come on, lift up a praise to Jesus. Amen. Amen. I was listening to Pastor Dolakbo as he was ministering, and the whole time I could just sense that there is something that the Lord is shifting and stirring. And so I want to just flow in alignment with what the Lord is already doing here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You see, when you came for Wolfbeck, you didn't come to leave the same. And so there's a lot that is changing in my message right now. But still in the same, kind of the same stream that the Lord wants to take it. You may be seated. You may be seated for now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I so love, I've mentioned this severally, but I really love the theme of this conference, because that is the mandate for every believer. Thy kingdom come. And that mandate should also make us to begin to always stay in the place where we examine our lives. That what kingdom am I advancing? What kingdom am I a part of? Not religion, but kingdom. Because you can do religion well and not understand kingdom. And what the Lord had burdened on my heart with, even when it comes to this time with you, it really, in the place of us embracing the posture of sacrifice. You know, yesterday I was teaching about honor as one of the kingdom principles, a kingdom culture, how we're called to live as God's people. And the one who is due our highest honor is our Lord Jesus. Because sometimes when we talk about honor, some people get triggered because of what honor has been, you know, the abuse of the language of what it is, right? When people hear honor, especially in the context of even when you have your spiritual leaders, people hear honor and they think it means silent culture, that you turn the other way from evil if there's something going on, that you just don't say anything, you don't do anything because you honor your leaders. And biblically, honor is never, you know, something where you unconditionally follow a person. The only person due that is Jesus, right? Anyone you follow as a leader, as a minister, you follow them as they follow him. And so what makes a leader qualified to be a shepherd, a good shepherd over sheep, is that they reflect the true shepherd. And when they start to deviate from that, you owe them no obligation. But honor is very key, because honor has to do with you respecting the role that people play, not even just the role that people play, the role that God ordained people to play in your life. It's to respect the grace that God placed on them to play that role. And so honor looks like respecting what you value. If you value life, you respect your parents, because they are the channel and the vehicle that God used to bring you to this world. And so again, when the scripture says, honor your mother and your father so your days shall be long, Because if you value your life, you will honor those that God chose to bring you forth. If you value the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you will honor the people that the Lord used to raise you in your understanding and teaching. If there, you know, if you value wealth building, you will honor the people that God used to open doors of opportunities for you, that help you to grow in your business and your career. Honor is a part of who we are. And I shared yesterday that why I believe the Lord really just began to speak to me again about honor is because of the times that we're in, the culture that we're in. We have made, we're promoting this idea of just because, you know, everything is in our fingertips, social media, you know, YouTube and all these things, that you can just carelessly and recklessly talk about people anyhow. Not out of revelation, not because you have authority by God to, just because you have an opinion. And it's very, very careless, because you don't understand the spiritual implications of that. But the highest honor is due to our Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that we honor him is through sacrifice. Now, the Word of God will tell us that obedience is better than sacrifice. Not because obedience does not include sacrifice, but it's trying to teach you that your obedience to God is better than some exaggerated, you know, ordeal that is to replace submission. Because sometimes we'll make this big thing of like, okay, God, look at what I've done for you, but it's really, you're trying to buy favor. Because anything that would replace submission unto the Lord doesn't carry the weight of obedience. But there is sacrifice in obedience. Because Jesus will tell us, pick up your cross and follow me. So it's not just about looking at the cross for what he did. There is something our life is supposed to reflect. That he is our greatest model. And if he would sacrifice himself for us, the Bible calls it is our reasonable service. It is reasonable, not exaggerated, not out of line. It is our reasonable service that we become a living sacrifice for him. And the Lord began to press this on my heart so much, and he began to just show me the life of Noah. You know, when you consider Noah's life, you see someone who really embodied sacrifice. First of all, the Bible has so much to say on sacrifice. But I want to just focus in on Noah. Because when you truly consider Noah and the times that he lived in, the Lord is about to release a flood that's going to wipe out all of humanity. Yet the people have never seen rain. And he tells Noah, disrupting Noah's life in that moment, telling Noah to build an ark for what the people have never even experienced or have a reference for. Now, first of all, you can see that there was time that was sacrificed. Do you know how many years it took Noah to build this ark? But yet, as Christians, we complain oftentimes about the time that we give to God. There's something I love that Apostle Arome says, and I believe he'll be with us tonight. And he talks about, yeah, let's honor him. Amen. Amen. He talks about waste time with God. And I love that so much. Because so often we're in a hurry to go nowhere. Because if the Lord has not revealed to you the truth of your DNA in him, life is empty. Because this, you have to understand, Jesus did not give himself just for you to have a good job, for you to have a nice house, for you to be married, just for that. There is a unique ordination that you have in him. And there are times that the Lord will call you away, and it requires time. But we're chasing after a life that, if we're really honest, for some of us, is a life that is motivated by what we envy, not by truth. Because if we really want to tap into the truth of who we are, then more often we will see ourselves taking, yes, we have to live, we have to pay bills and all those things, but you will be intentional about having time away to truly seek the face of God. God, what is it you know about me? What is it you're saying about my life? I've often shared my testimony how I was mainly in business. And I remember, and I was doing well. Because there are times when you seek the Lord because you are lacking. And you're looking for breakthrough, so it's like, okay, Lord, please just tell me something. Show me the path of favor. No, I was doing very well for myself when it comes to material things. But we don't live on that. That would never satisfy you. And I felt so empty because it was as though the one who has been my father for all these years was not pleased with me. And I took time away to just really stay in a place of fasting and prayer. Because I said, God, there's something you know about me that I don't know about myself. And I need to understand, who is that person? And I never thought the response that the Lord would give me at the end of that, you know, that period of fasting was that he was calling me to preach the gospel. I did not think that. And he didn't even unfold it immediately. He wooed me into it. Some of you are in the positions where you might be excelling and desiring more growth, and you don't realize it has nothing to do with your ordination. You have to be willing to waste time with God. You have to be willing to say, Lord, I know that there is a path I would like for my life. I have my goals, I have my ambition, I have my plans. But what is it you know about me? Because you are the true author of my life. So anything that I'm leaving, I'm living outside of that which was written concerning me, I'm living a lie. You see, the reason the Lord began to show me some of you in prayer, the reason that some of you are in a place where you have these cycles, it has nothing to do with, you know, it's like you pursue something, but you fall into these cycles of deep, it's not even just about deep depression, but it's like you have these cycles of truly just feeling empty and lost. Yet everyone around you is applauding you about the things that you're doing. They're applauding you. They're seeing growth. They're seeing favor from a human perspective. But you find yourself constantly in this place. It happens every 6 months, every year, every 2 years. You find yourself back in the same place where you feel empty. And it's because you're not yet walking in the path of your ordination. And that feeling is actually the mercy of God to draw you into the place of seeking. That you would get tired with just chasing things that do not fulfill or satisfy you. And you will be willing to waste time with God. And why I love that phrase is because truly in God there is no waste. But you have to first embrace it in the mind, because your flesh will fight you because it's thinking it's waste. But even if it's going to be waste, I'd rather do it with God. Because the truth is, He is not a waster. Even if I spend 7 years of my life constantly in fasting and prayer, I'm actually redeeming time. Because when the Lord will finally speak to me, it will change everything about my life. I will come into the direction, into the path that He always knew. This is what predestination is about in the scriptures. That there is something that is already known about you in Christ. And when you come in Him and begin to seek it out, you would recognize what was always ordained about you even before you were conceived in your mother's womb. And if you walk in that path, things will begin to work. Because that is the path heaven will back up. That is the identity that the Lord recognizes, that this is according to my will for your life. But so often we are distracted. And what motivates us to come to the house of the Lord, what motivates us to pray, is material things. What often will drive us, I can never forget, there was a time when the Lord was teaching me about the power of faith and prayer. And in this encounter, I see this lady, and she was praying with so much passion. And I was like, my God, that woman is anointed. She had the language, the lingo. I mean, she was praying in King James. And I was looking, I said, Lord, surely that is what prayer looks like. And the Lord said, it's empty. There's no faith in her. She's just doing things from a place of the flesh. Everything she's praying right now is motivated by her emotions. There's no belief backing it up. And I was shocked by this. Because there was a crowd around her. And everyone is believing the same thing. That, wow, this is powerful. But it was empty. And the Lord said, that's not faith. This is just, she's just moved by emotions. But I also believe that in the goodness of God. That just in the same way that when Saul lost the father's donkeys. Well, he didn't really lose the donkeys. The donkeys just went missing. And when he's looking for the donkeys, he thinks it's about finding the donkeys. Not knowing that the Lord orchestrated for the donkeys to go missing, that in the search for donkeys that he would encounter destiny. And so often what we are searching for is so material, but the Lord is so perfect in all His ways that He will use your search for that which is not significant for you to arrive at the place of destiny. And I believe that's what's going to even happen, or what's going to continue, because this conference has been so rich that I believe it's changing and transforming so many. But that to continue in that place, that even in this moment, many of you are going to be awakened to the fact that I've been pursuing the Lord to maybe find a way out of hardship, not knowing that in my pursuit of that, I'm actually going to encounter my calling. I'm actually going to come into face to face with what the Lord has always said about me. And so when you think about Noah, Noah sacrificed time. Noah also sacrificed resources. You see, it's interesting because the Lord will talk to Noah about build it according to the pattern I show you. He will give him specific instructions about the ark. But the Bible never said he also provided the resources. But now we know that at the end of the day, for every vision God gives, there is provision. But the thing is, we have to be people that recognize God's provision as that which he owns and we steward. The moment you start to think you are the owner of the things in your life, that's where greed comes in. And that's where you start becoming selfish about things the Lord says be open-handed with. You see, it's so interesting. You know, I was sharing a story yesterday about how the Lord was teaching me about tithing when I was 14. But one of the things I didn't mention was that it was not just that the Lord was saying, hey, you're going to give me 10%. What he was actually teaching me is that I own everything. And I'm just teaching you how to steward it by committing this to the local church. But it all belongs to me. I'm letting you have what you're using right now. And as I got older, I really recognized that it all belongs to him. Because what I didn't realize was that the 10% I was doing every, you know, as from that point in my life and paying my tithes to the church was God's way of only saying, will you be faithful? Because then later on, the Lord will start asking me to sacrifice in ways financially that I said, Lord, now I need a scripture for this. I don't know if this is biblical or if this is Satan talking to me. And what was he showing me? I own it all. If at any point I have need for you to do something with it, release it. And if you see yourself as a steward, then you would freely sacrifice your resources. Not because you're being foolish about your needs, but you have a greater confidence in the one you call Jireh than in the provision you see. You know, I remember when there was a lot going on, so many expenses taking place, and I needed to go do this recording, and the person who owned the studio started opening up to us about things going on in his life, and he was dealing with a court case, and all these things. He wasn't asking us for money. I mean, we're paying him for the studio session. But he was just opening up to us about everything that's going on. And right in that moment, the Lord told me an amount that I need to sow into this man's life. And the Lord said specifically to me, he said, I'm going to teach you something. Because it was a big amount. But the Lord said, I'm not asking you to even take it from your account. I want you to tell this man that the Lord is giving this to him, but just through me. And he said, I'm going to cause this very amount to come to you. But your name is on the check, but it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to that man. And I remember telling the man, I said, hey, I don't know if you're a believer, but this is what the Lord Jesus is saying. And we, you know, talk to him about Jesus and all that. And I said, but the Lord wants to bless you with this. I said, I'm not doing this because I'm nice. Hey, let's be honest, right? There are times that you can be kind in excess. You're like, of course. I said, because right now, that's not what I even have to give. I said, this has nothing to do with me, so don't make it about me. I said, but the Lord, the one who I am under his authority, says that he wants to do this for you. And the next time I see you, I will have it to give you. And before the next scheduled session with him, literally, a check came to me that I was not expecting for that exact amount. Now, did I also have things to do with that amount? Yes. And it's in my name. Technically, if I cash it legally on earth in the natural realm, it's mine, but not for kingdom people. The moment I saw that, I said, this belongs to that man. I went, withdrew the money, put it in an envelope. The next time I saw him, I gave it to him. And I said, if there's anyone you should give praise to, thank Jesus in your quiet time. Why am I sharing this? You have to see yourself as a steward, not an owner. Because if you're so tight-fisted with everything you have, you stay where you are. If you truly believe that you are connected to a kingdom that knows no lack, then why do you function like it? That when the Lord shows you to be a brother's keeper, a sister's keeper, you put yourself above them, your need above theirs. Now, I'm not talking about when, you know, just in the use of natural wisdom. I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit is instructing you. And you talk yourself out of obedience based on what you see. But Noah was a man who sacrificed resources. Because at the end of the day, I believe he knew it all belongs to him anyway. Noah sacrificed his reputation. This is where many of us get stuck. That who the Lord is calling you to be sometimes will look like a mockery to your community. That sometimes the people that are familiar with you will start to question you. Can you imagine what it was for Noah to be building an ark? I'm not talking about what was recently happening. Some of you will catch it. Some of you find out from those laughing. That was foolishness. But I'm talking about Noah, a man known in his days that he walked blamelessly and uprightly. Can you imagine him building an ark? People calling him crazy, mocking him, losing relationships, all in the name of his God. That he was willing to let go of his reputation in service to the Lord. That's why the word of God will tell us that let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And what is it then speaking to? One of no reputation. You see, for some of you, your reputation has become your idol, your God. That, oh, no, not me, I can't do that. But if you're really going to be about this kingdom business, then you must also be willing to put your reputation on the altar. For some of us, just one negative comment, you're losing your mind. And it's unfortunate because social media is a tool. At the end of the day, that's what it is. It's a tool. It's a tool that can be effective, and it's a tool that can be harmful, depending on how you use it and how you utilize it. But when we are in this social media culture of likes, comments, followers, and all of that, then we don't realize in a subtle way it starts to program us and engineer us to only post things that we know will get likes. And people will comment. And people will want to follow. And you don't realize how that mentality begins to seep into your own life. That you now only want to do things and reflect things that the masses will want to follow and like and comment in a way that's favorable to you. But if you're really going to do this thing with the Lord, you have to sacrifice reputation. I remember many nights where the Lord would tell me, there would be a time where you will go through great persecution. I said, wow, thank you. Just awesome message. So encouraging, God. And he said, I'm trying to let you know ahead of time so you don't feel blindsided by it. But what does he promise? But I am with you. There are moments where there are things the Lord will call you to do. And you have to be willing to lay down your reputation. But one of the most significant things that I see about Noah is actually what happened, and I believe this is in Genesis chapter 8. And this is when Noah comes out of the ark. And, you know, the flood has happened. The Lord remembers Noah. The waters subside. And they come out of the ark, and Noah sacrifices to the Lord a burnt offering. And the burnt offering is representing his gratitude, but it's also representing the fact that he is fully surrendered to the Lord. Now, what is interesting is that, because, you see, all of the Bible is really pointing to Jesus and his kingdom. And so even in this moment with Noah, we see a foreshadow to Christ. Because Noah did not present a sacrifice before his salvation. It wasn't when the Lord told him that, Noah, there is going to be a flood that wipes out everything. He says, let me just present a sacrifice in order to be saved. The Lord is like, no, it is in the Lord's mercy and his grace that he's coming to Noah to preserve a people. But then after Noah is saved from destruction, Noah presents a burnt offering to the Lord. And it is when the Lord smells the aroma of that, the scripture talks about how the Lord says to himself, never again. Now, what is interesting here is because this is pointing us to the fact that when we became saved, because of Jesus, he is our ark that took us from death to life, that took us from shame, guilt, and condemnation to life and life more abundant. That because of him, this is why the scripture says it is your reasonable sacrifice. Because of him, I will give my, if you would do all of this for me, then it is reasonable for me to be a living sacrifice. Noah sacrifices after his salvation, not before. And so when we truly understand what Christ did for us on the cross, it becomes our reasonable service to say, Lord, I will live for you. We now become the burnt offering. And the Lord responds to that. He smells the aroma and says to himself, you see, never again is establishing something. And there are things that the Lord desires to establish on the earth through you. But you must be a burnt offering. Your life must be an aroma pleasing to God. That through you, he can begin to establish his will and purposes for the earth. That you become that living sacrifice. And what does that look like in practical terms? Because at the end of the day, the Lord did not create us to be zombies or robots. You are a living soul. You have a will. You can choose what path you take. You have ambitions. But you can lay them down to say, Lord, but what is your will concerning my life? You have your desires. But you can lay them down to say, Lord, whatever it is you desire for my life is actually truth. It is something you engage with your free will to say, Lord, I will live for you. And let's even go beyond, because you see, first of all, the salvation is so weighty in itself. But even when you look after salvation, when you start to think of all the things that the Lord has kept you from, is not it your reasonable sacrifice? You see, no matter how hard things may look like sometimes, even within Nigeria, and I know there are people tuning in from all over the world, Trust me, every part of the world is chaos right now. I live in California, and in Los Angeles, there is this street called Skid Row. And Skid Row, which, and I'll have to fact check this again, but as of the last time I checked that, it has literally one of the biggest homeless population in the nation. People are thinking that, oh, I just need to get to America. But then there are Americans who are, they don't even know what's next for them. Homeless on the street. And often many of them have taken so much drugs, they can't even think straight. And there are some of them who are, you know, they can communicate and all of that, but they have, they're, it's almost like they're in this bondage to that area. It's like there's almost this, not even almost, there is like, I won't call it a principality, but there is a demon that governs that place. And maybe I actually would say it's a principality. Because I remember there are times when I used to go and serve on Skid Row. And I would go and just give them, you know, water, food, different things, clothing. And people always tell us, hey, be careful. They don't want to leave. And I'm like, this, it's America. There are things they could be doing. And I remember one day, and we used to do this every week. We'll go to Skid Row, we'll pray with people, you know, just evangelize and share food and water. And it was always really interesting because while you're sharing things, you might be sharing, let's say the water is, you know, Nestle Pure Life. And they will ask you like, oh, is this the only brand you have? I'm like, hey, do you want this water or not? It's unopened, it's cool. No, this is real life. You give them a sandwich, they're like, did you cut the crust off? I said, I'm sure you can't cut your own crust, you know? But I remember this one particular day and the Lord, you know, we were supposed to go serve and the Holy Spirit just told me, don't go today. And it was me and a bunch of my friends and the Lord is like, don't go today. And there was one of my friends in particular that the Lord had been telling me, just showing me to intercede for his life. And I even called him. I said, look, there is something strategic against your life, but be in prayer as well, and I will be praying. I didn't know that on that day, when they went to Skid Row to serve the homeless and share the gospel of Jesus, there was a man in a wheelchair. And apparently, he was the pimp of a certain area. And I'm like, what is happening here? Is this a whole civilization? So he had women in that region who were prostitutes, all homeless, working for him. And one of the ways they traded was water. So when my friends were giving water to one of the women, he got angry and got up. First of all, he was on a wheelchair. It wasn't a miracle. So when, because they told me the story, he gets angry and gets up and pulls a gun at the guy who the Lord was saying, pray concerning his life. And he got so upset that why are they giving water to one of the women he owns? And they tell me the story, and I'm like, she could leave. Like, this is just a street. Like, what is going on here? It's something you have to experience. It's really, it's not something you can fathom that these people could leave and go somewhere else. But yet we think it's so hard here, and people are bound by demons on a street. No matter how hard you think you have it, even what you call your promised land is a jail to someone else, is a torture to someone else. So wherever you are, you start to ask the Lord, why do you have me here? What is it that you will to do through and with my life? Who am I in you? And if you're going to ask that question in accuracy, you have to be willing to say like the Apostle Paul say, I die daily. That, Lord, I'm willing to be a living sacrifice. I want to give it all to you. There are many things the Lord has saved you from. If your salvation, first of all, your salvation should be enough. But the fact that you're even here with your right mind, Lord, I owe you my life. Sometimes, I remember a friend of mine asked me, why am I so passionate about the Lord? Because people want to find out, like, there's some, it can't be, there has to be like a hole or something. I'm like, no, I really just love Jesus. And I will live for him, and for him I will die. Hallelujah. And one, I thank him that he saved me from my own self. And then even when I look at my story and I look at what God pulled me out from, some of you know the story about how my father was murdered by his own cousin. And then his brother tried to murder my mother and all of us. But yet the hand of God kept us. Have you seen where assassins will be sent to a house? But yet there is another force that sends them away. And these are the ones we know. What about the ones you don't know? What about the stories that you would only realize in heaven that Jesus kept you from? You see, we give too much credit to witchcraft. If they were that powerful, you would not be here. The Lord is the keeper of your life. The Lord has been protecting you all through your years. When they were raising altars against you, the blood spoke for you. And yet you try to negotiate how you live for him. It is your reasonable service to commit your life wholeheartedly to the Lord. And the Lord began to show me, and that's why, you know, as I was just tuning into Pastor Dolakpo's message, it was just such a confirmation. Because the Lord began to show me their people. I just kept seeing mantles that would be released upon people that would reveal their ordination in him. And in a few moments, the Spirit of the Lord is going to do something so powerful and beautiful in this place. And so I want us to take some time in prayer. Just rise to your feet. Now I want you to understand this. Your life is about to be completely disrupted. And you have to embrace that. The Lord will shift you from one industry to another, from one field to another. He'll begin to show you things about your life that you don't even realize has always been who you are in him. Yesterday, I loved something Pastor Koju was saying about how, you know, don't, when the Lord begins to bring blessings to you and open doors for you that you are unfamiliar with, don't reject it. You're unfamiliar with it based on your knowledge, your limited knowledge about yourself. But once you start to step in, you'll begin to see the hand of God partner with you. You see, the real version of who you are requires a shoe that you cannot fit by yourself. Because it is the shoe that you fit with the Holy Spirit. Whatever you have the capacity to do by yourself is too small. not even true. Because whatever your flesh has the capacity to handle is beneath you. Because your flesh is the lowest level of who you are. So if you stay in the place of this is what I know, this is what I just have the wisdom for, this is the path I've always been in, it's too small, it's beneath you. Because how can we be co-laborers with him if there's no room for him? I would never have chosen ministry. Because believe it or not, I really don't like to be like, yeah, just talking in this manner. But it is the place where I partner with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you're willing to embrace disruption, then something is going to fall. For some of you, the Lord has been showing it to you in dreams. You've seen yourself acting in a way that is not what you know about yourself. And he's revealing to you, this is who you are. You've seen yourself wearing uniforms that you don't even have the educational background for. He's revealing to you, this is who you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see the angels of God released in this house. And they're coming to collect your old wineskin. They're coming to collect old garments. And I see garments all around this building. And what you think fits you is too small. Begin to pray. Ask the Lord, disrupt me. That if I am living and walking in a path that is not that which you desire for my life, if I am pursuing things that is outside your will and your purpose for me, Lord, disrupt me. Begin to furnish my heart with that which you say about me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to live a lie anymore. This life is but a vapor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Disrupt me. Disrupt me. Disrupt me. Disrupt me. Lebra katana masokoira braseke. Lana makola brani na makaira brosate. Likona mashikayana mako. Disrupt me. Disrupt me. Likana makuira brasakaina mako. Ketayida blanina maka yida brasukotana make. Lebro sokoti. Rasata. You see, even what is happening in the atmosphere is speaking to what will happen in your life. Because what you don't realize is that when you are not living in the will of God, you have been living in darkness, and the light is coming on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I bind every spirit of fear in the atmosphere. Every spirit of fear, I bind you. You would have no influence over the minds and lives of God's people. Begin to cry out. Begin to cry out. Begin to cry out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You see, as you're praying, there is an increase. Because the Lord began to show me 15 people, and it's increasing to 25 people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And in just a little bit, the Holy Spirit will begin to locate you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Spirit of the living God, those that are asking that you will bring a disruption to their lives, and you will begin to empower them with what you have always known about them. Let the mantles begin to fall in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 The mantles of their calling. Ikayana masuko yida brasataye. Lebro kotono moso. Libra kaya namake ibrakate. Lebro namaka yida brosa. Likona mashiki yida brasikata. Lebrani namakayena masono moko. I see the spirit of wisdom that will begin to fill the lives of many, that would give you the ability. Lekana masoko. In the creative field, la katena maka, le brakona mase, in fields of science and technology, ikayina makona masakayina make, le brakoto nomosoko yira braso. I see the Lord is about to raise apostles, is about to raise prophets, is about to raise teachers, is about to raise shepherds, ebrana makana maso, is about to raise evangelists. There is someone the Lord is sending to Liberia. Holy Spirit, anoint them in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, have your way. Ekana maika lebrana makona mase. Ibra namaya nama kaye da braso. There is prophecy over you. There is prophecy over you. There is prophecy over you. And you will not fail your Lord. You will fulfill your call. Thank you, Lord. Just a moment of silence. A moment of silence. If you can, close your eyes. If that distracts you, Holy Spirit, locate your people. Holy Ghost, begin to locate them from every corner of this building, from those watching online. Begin to locate them. Let the anointing of God begin to fall. Let their ordination come to life. Lord, Ebraninamaka, Let their sacrifice of their submission, receive their submission like an aroma before you and respond in this room. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let it come on them stronger. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let it be undeniable that the hand of Yahweh is upon them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For anyone who is behind their season, I call you into your ordained season in the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost, locate them. I come against delay in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of delay, lebrakatana, every spirit of sabotage, you will stop sabotaging the destiny that God has connected to your life. Locate them. Locate them. Ebrakaida brona makida brasate. Likanina masuko yida brasoko. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You are in this place. As you yield, he is coming. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Don't be distracted. You see, begin to pray. Begin to pray from within. But there is a sound that the Lord is causing to be released. And it's the sound of your ordination. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As you yield, he comes. As you yield, he comes. Lord, for every watchman and watchwoman, Ayana Makuyi Dabrasate, that has been hiding from the place of fear, Lord, let your hand begin to raise them. I speak boldness to come upon them. That which they have ran from, they will confront. Anoint them. I see many evangelists that the Lord wants to export from this church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For every evangelist. La kayana masoko yida brasoto. Kenama kayida braseke yida braso. Kona maka namaka ye. For every flag in the back of this building, Lord, locate those who are called to those nations. Let the anointing come upon them. Let anything that will fight their ability to travel, I bind it in the name of Jesus. Just a moment. Let the hand of God be upon you now. Let the hand of God be upon you now. Let the hand of God be upon you now. Let the hand of God be upon you now. Let the hand of God be upon you now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is the fruit of this ministry. This ministry is deep waters. And these waters need to be exported.
Ah!
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let the hand of God be upon you now. Kaina masukuida brasekete. Labrakota namasikaida braso. Locate them. Librakata namasukuida brasa. Librakuna makaida brasuna make. Librakana masukuida brase. Holy Spirit, locate them. Locate them. Locate them. Lanina makana maseke ibrasota. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There is another. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everything that has been stopping you from stepping into your calling, I bind it in the name of Jesus. Everything that has caused you to be blind to the glory of Christ, I open your eyes in the name of Jesus. Let the Spirit of the living God locate you now. And let the anointing of God come upon you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There is a young girl that will fall under the anointing. If you see that girl, bring her. She's a young child. Let the Spirit of the Lord locate that child. Thank you, Lord. 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 Libranana makonina masekeira braso. Katana makuida braseke. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. If you know what is happening in the realm of the Spirit in this place, thank you, Lord. Everyone, just place your hand on your head. Say, Lord Jesus, do not pass me by. Just leave your hand on your head for just a few seconds. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say, let every hidden yoke be broken over my life. Thank you, Lord. 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 Heavenly Father, as you continue to do that which you have always ordained to do in your people, we glorify your name, Lord. This is the work of your Holy Spirit. And it continues even outside of the building. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Ekayana masokoyida bra. Let your name be glorified. Through these that you are commissioning, let your name be glorified. I command healing in this place. Every spirit of deafness, I bind you. Every spirit that will keep one bound in a wheelchair, I bind you. Loose the Lord's people. I command healing in this room. I command healing in this room. Every tumor, you will disappear in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we know you. We trust you. We believe you. You will perfect that which you have started. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Please, however you can, There is a young girl. If you could locate one of the ushers and just have someone notify me later, I just have to touch and agree with a young girl that the Lord is going to begin to use at her young, tender age. Amen. And I just want to pray with her and the parents, but God bless you.